Well, hey, let's get right to it. I am super thrilled to have Brother Kemp Holden with us today. And I want you to believe one thing for sure. I would not ask him to come back year after year if I didn't know for sure and for certain that Brother Holden seeks God and his content for this particular church. I truly believe that. I know that he prays about it, and I know that he gets words for everywhere that he goes. He has a specific word for this church today, and I know that for sure. And I think most of you know him and all of his accolades. He's a pretty big deal. All right, Kemp Holden, come on up here.
Pastor, thank you.
I love you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor. Not sure I can do this in 30 seconds, but I'm going to work on it very, very hard. So good to see you today. God bless you. And it's a joy to be back in Oklahoma and to just be back in this church. This is a great church with a great pastor. This is a wonderful place. How many of you thank God for this church? Just incredible. So many wonderful people here. Of course, Pastor and Mrs. Dick Temple here, great, great friends. We have something in common. The same year that this church was established, God sent me to Fort Smith, Arkansas to build a church, 1971. Now, I'm a lot younger than Pastor Temple. I want you to know that. He seems like a father to me. Amen. I think we're the same age, if I'm not mistaken. Also, one of my great friends in ministry for a long time is here, Brother Casey George, who is from India. He is the founder and the leader of a... Y'all already know who he is, don't you? He's the founder and the leader of a great ministry in India, for which I have been a supporter and an encourager through the years. Pastor George, we are really happy to see you and have you today. Amen. Why don't you just stand up? We're going to give you a good hand right now. My wife thinks that Sarah, his lovely wife, is the number one lady in all the world. In fact, KC thinks that my wife is the number one person in all the world. I told him at the banquet the other night when I got off the plane in Oklahoma City to do the banquet on Friday night, the first question was, where is Carol? I said, well, she's doing a Bible study in the morning for a lot of pastors' wives in Alabama, and she's not with me. But I said, I'm here. And he said, yeah, I know. It's a great builder of confidence. I want you to know that. It's a great privilege to be with you today. And I just want to take a moment and humbly say to you that I do take seriously invitations to speak in churches. I pastored the same church for 38 and a half years. I've been in ministry 60 years. I don't look that old, do I? This is a hard crowd right here. Amen. But I do take seriously that I'm from the old school, I guess, in that I believe that the Holy Spirit is still moving and alive and speaks to people a word for that particular people in that particular time. How many of you believe that? Well, amen. I'm totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and I covet that you will pray as we minister to you today, because God has put a word in my heart specifically for this particular moment and specifically for you today. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I know you're real comfortable, got your shoes kicked off. That's okay. But I want you to stand up, and we're going to just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us here today to hear God's word. Could I just pray with you? Father God, we thank you for your presence, for the power of the Holy Spirit that we've already experienced in this room. I ask the Lord that you would anoint your servant. I confess to you, I am completely and totally dependent upon you. Lord, I know from experience, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Without you, Lord, we can do nothing. With you, we can do all things. And we thank you for that wonderful promise right now. Open the hearts of every person in this room. Let us receive your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. The title of my message is actually a question. How many of you like questions? That was a question. I guess you were honest when you didn't raise your hand. My experience in church is that people in church do not really like questions because it forces you to do something. Use this right here. My question is actually a statement that was made by Jesus. You've probably heard it or maybe seen it before. This particular question was actually responded to by Jesus, but there was a response, but he actually initiated this question. It is in it is in Luke 17, and we're going to go to John 5 in a moment. But in Luke 17, you know the story of Jesus going to the pool of Bethesda, and there was a man laying there that needed healing, needed deliverance in his life. Jesus walked up to him and gave this particular question. We're going to look at it in a moment. Jesus said to him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" How many of you have ever seen that statement? Now you would think that automatically, number one, Jesus knew that the man had been in that bed 38 and a half years. How many of you think Jesus knew it before he got there? And this man, by him simply being there, it was pretty obvious that he wanted to get well. In fact, he said there, "I've been here all these years and there's nobody to help me." Yet, in spite of that, Jesus asked the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Are you aware that something can be God's will, something can be God's intention, but he cannot do it until he hears a response from you? How many of you are aware that you didn't just get saved because God's will was for you to get saved? You had to do something about it. Now, with that said, the word whole is a very, very important word. Wilt thou be made whole? Now I want to take you quickly to Luke 17, and I just want you to look at that. I'm going to paraphrase a lot of this. In Luke 17, the Bible said Jesus passed through Samaria and Galilee, and as he was walking through that area, he entered into a certain village, and there were 10 men that were lepers. Anybody remember the story? And as they approached Jesus, and Jesus approached them, they said with a loud voice, "Have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us." And Jesus responded to that by saying to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, if you will, just pick it up with me and take a look at this in verse 14. "When he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Everybody say with me, cleansed. Now the rest of you say it. Now if you want to beat the Baptist to the restaurants, you're going to have to get on the page. As they went, they were cleansed. Verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed," say with me, healed. Cleansed, healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They're not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And Jesus then spoke as he began to worship and said to him, when he said, "Where are the 9? They said, "They've not come back." Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." Amen. Now, how many were cleansed? 9. How many were healed? 9. But only one of them was made whole. That's something I want you to think about. This word whole is a powerful word in the Greek language. In the Greek language, the word whole is just a powerful word helping us to understand wholeness. It means complete in all its parts. No part wanting or unsound. Complete, entire, whole, free. Free from sin, faultless, complete in all respects. Consummate. How many of you here would like to live that kind of life? Where that your life is complete. You ever heard the term, "Man, I want to get it together"? Or you see somebody and you say, "Boy, they got it together." What are they saying? They're saying that the whole person is made whole. Now, every one of us are created in the image of God. You know that. God is a triune being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are made in His image, and you too are a triune being. You have three parts that make up your person. Number one, you are a spirit. You have a spirit. Your spirit is your God consciousness. That's the difference between us as humans and all the other beings on this earth. We have a spirit. We have an ability to contact God with our spirit. It is your spirit that is born again. Until you become a Christian, your spirit is dead. Your receiver is turned off. But thank God, when you accept Jesus Christ, God Almighty turns on your spirit and you and God can communicate face to face. How many of you thank God for that? Wow. You not only have a spirit, but you have a soul. Your spirit is your God consciousness. Your soul is your self consciousness. It is the soul that is the location of your mind, your emotions, your will, your feelings. That's a part of you. How many of you here know that you have a mind? How many of you try to use it properly? How many of you here have emotions? How many of you see them come up once in a while? If you lie, you fry. Let me see your hand. Oh, yeah. It's that realm of your self-consciousness, your will, your feelings. And then you have a body. Your spirit is your God consciousness, your soul is your self consciousness, and your body is your world consciousness. We know the five senses of the body: sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch. That's kind of interesting to me in today's world. Are you aware that one of the symptoms of COVID is that you lose your taste and your smell? I have a grandson that's 12 years old. He is a character. I mean, he thinks he's about 18 or 19 years old, and boy, he likes to smell good, so he takes a shower on a regular basis, wears a cologne, and all the girls in the school say, "Oh, I like to be around Evan. He smells so good." The other day, he called me on the phone. He said, "Pap, I think something's wrong." I said, "What's the matter, son?" He said, "You know, I use this special shampoo and this special soap in the shower, and today when I took a shower, I couldn't smell myself." Sure enough, told his mama, "Let's go find out." He had a test, and sure enough, he tested positive on COVID, lasted about 5 or 6 days. But he immediately recognized in his world consciousness that he had something wrong in his life. Now, what I want you to think about for a moment is wholeness. I'm talking about wholeness in your spirit, wholeness in your soul, wholeness in your body. That word whole means to be, listen to this, to be complete. I mentioned it, in all its parts, in all of its areas, whole in your spirit, whole in your soul, whole in your body. I want to give you a couple of statements. Wholeness is for the total person, and wholeness is a choice. You can actually be, and I want you to just keep your seat now when I say this, you can actually be a Christian and not necessarily be whole. Now, we will agree to that quickly when we say, "Well, I've met a lot of Christians who are not whole in their body, but yet they're a Christian." We will agree to that. Is that same thing not true when it comes to your spirit? You're needing a touch of God in your spirit because you feel, how many of you here have ever been dry spiritually? How many of you know that's not the way your spirit's supposed to be? Your spirit's supposed to be full and overflowing and complete. How many of you know that you can be a Christian and not be whole in your soul, in your feelings, in your emotions, in your choices, in your will? God wants us to be totally and completely whole in spirit, in soul, and in body. How many of you here, if I could show you a little map today on how to become a 100% whole person in your spirit, soul, and body, would be willing for a few minutes to take that trip with me? We're taking a vote. My church in Arkansas, we had a lot of Baptists that came to our church. How many of you know Baptists like to vote? So I gave them many opportunities to be happy, let me tell you that. Would you be willing to take that journey with me? It is a choice. Wholeness is a choice there. Just like the man I mentioned at the pool of Bethesda, he had to make a choice. Wilt thou be made whole? Now, the next statement I want to make, and I want you to make a note of this, because this is what I want to share with you. Wholeness is a maintenance item. It is not something that just happens automatically. You have to make a decision. I am going to be whole totally in my total person, spirit, soul, and body. Pick up your Bibles, and I want to take you to the passage that I want to just study with you for a moment. Turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through verse 24. This is a brand new discovery to me, and I've been studying the Bible for over 60 years, but I've never really seen the impact of these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 24, and Miss Susie back there is going, oh my goodness, she's way ahead of me. My goodness alive. Turn around, look at the group back there in the catbird section. Just turn around, look at them, and give them a good hand. God bless you. God bless you. Now, Susie, I'm going to ask you to take it off for a moment because I'm going to show all of it in a moment. But before we go there, before we read this passage, I want to jump to the last two verses and show you where these verses will lead. In other words, what you see at the end of the passage, 22, 23, 24 in there, in fact, it's almost just exclusively in that last verse, verse 24. What you see is a destination that is promised to you by God. In other words, the verses above it give you the route. The last two or three verses give you the destination. How many of you here have a GPS in your car? How many of you have a GPS in your car? Put your hand up. You got a GPS? Oh, yes. That's an amazing thing to me. How in the world does that thing know where everybody is all the time and show them where to go? Now, my wife, she argues with the GPS a lot. I remember some years ago, my good friend, Pastor Charles Green, who built a great church in New Orleans, called me on the phone. He said, Kemp, I need you to pray for me. I said, what's the matter, Brother Charles? He said, I bought me a new car, and it's got one of these GPS deals in there, and now I've got a serious problem. I said, Charles, what's the problem? He said, I've always had one woman telling me where to go, and now I got two women telling me where to go. But here's what you're going to learn about a GPS. Here's the first thing you need to know. When you get in your car, can you just start driving and think that thing is going to just take you right where you were thinking, where you want to go? What do you got to do? You got to put in something. What is it? You got to put in your destination. Too many Christians are like the woman who jumped in the back of a taxi cab and said, take me there. You got to know where there is. I'm going to take you in a moment and show you where you can go as far as wholeness, and then I'm going to show you quickly how to get there. Pick up your Bible. Look at this. Let's go quickly to that before we read the whole passage. I want to take you to what can actually happen in your life. Look at that last verse right in there. It says this in verse 23 and 24. And the very God of peace. This is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, watch this, your whole spirit, say with me, my whole spirit. Put your hand on your heart because the spirit's the biblical heart. Put your hand on your heart. Say this, my whole spirit, my whole heart, and soul and body. There's the three things I was talking about. I pray that your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body be preserved. Boy, that's a great word. Preserved. Blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this last verse, 24. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. You can live in the midst of a turbulent, confusing culture. How many of you know the culture's never been like it is right now? My goodness. I'm telling you, please don't be offended by this, but I've never seen so much stupidity in all of my life. Really. I'm kind of glad my daddy's in heaven. He lived to be 99 years old, was still driving at 95. Now, he'll improve your prayer life if you'd have rode with him. But I don't know what my daddy would have done in all of this. But I tell you what we're going to do. We are here in this, and instead of sinking into despair, God has a plan for us to rise to a greater dimension of effectiveness as a believer than any generation before us. It's not time to close the doors. It's time to open the doors, because the answer to today's problems is in the house of God and in the Word of God, and they're becoming hungry to hear about it and to see about it. So I'm gonna just take a few minutes, and I want you to examine with me that passage that you've got open. Quickly, you'll notice in the passage, since we're working on a spiritual GPS, you're going to notice seven waypoints, seven statements that take you down to the destination of your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body being made whole. Let's get ready and do it. Number one, look at this. Rejoice evermore. Make a note of that. Just two words. Rejoice evermore. That's what he says. Now, what is amazing right here, he says rejoice evermore, which means, it's a powerful, powerful word. That word rejoice, you know what that actually means? It means, listen to this, just a powerful, powerful word. It means to be happy. It means to rejoice or to give thanks. Rejoice evermore. Be in a spirit of joy and happiness. Look at this, evermore. That's so very, very important right there, to understand the strength of joy that is in your life. How many of you here have heard a little bit about your immune system in the last few months or so? How many of you have heard a little bit about that? I've discovered something that is really important. Are you aware that medically, scientifically, and statistically, they have proven that happy and joyful people have a much stronger immune system than those who don't? It actually affects your physical body. Listen to this. There's a direct connection between well-being or being well and rejoicing. A healthy immune system is important for overall health. Research has shown that being happy may help keep your immune system strong. It may help reduce the risk of developing colds and infections. One study in over 300 healthy people looked at the risk of developing a cold after individuals were given a common cold virus via nasal drops. Listen to this. The least happy people were almost three times as likely to develop the common cold compared to their happier counterparts. Turn to your neighbor and say, honey, you need to start laughing a whole lot more and you'll be a lot healthier. In another study, researchers gave 81 university students a vaccine against hepatitis B, a virus that attacks the liver. Happier students were nearly twice as likely to have high antibody response, a sign of a strong immune system. Joyful people are healthier people. Listen to this. You ever heard Proverbs 17:22? A merry heart doeth good like a what? Medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. The New American Bible, the joyful heart is the health of the body. Turn to your neighbor and say, honey, have you had your medicine today? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Somebody here has been taking that. I walked up to somebody here today in church this morning, and I said, how are you doing today? This is what they said. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, somebody. Maybe you need to change medicines. Maybe you need to abstain from so much CNN and MSNBC. Now, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. How many of you know you don't need to live on that stuff? You need to live on what God has said about you and who you are in Christ Jesus and what His plan is for you. And you need to get up every day, click your heels together and say, thank God, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, don't patty cake. Give the Lord a good hand right now. Hallelujah. You say, wait a minute, Pastor. Yeah, we started down the road. That's the first waypoint. I have a boat. I own a boat. I like to fish. I'm not, don't pray for me. I don't want to be delivered. I like it. It's the only sport that Jesus participated in, by the way. I'm trying my best to be like Jesus, I want you to know. My wife does not share that joy. She describes a fisherman as a jerk on one end waiting for a jerk on the other end. But I have a boat and I have a GPS. I live in Gulf Shores and live right on the Gulf and fish in the Gulf. And you got to have a GPS to go where you need to go in the Gulf. And when you programming a route, each little turning point is called a waypoint in the journey to get you to your destination. That's one waypoint right there. Rejoice evermore. Number two, look at this. Here's what it says. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The most important thing that Kemp Holden does in his life is not preach a sermon or write an article or make a television program. That's not the most important thing. Not even pastoring the church for almost 40 years. The most important thing that I do as a Christian and as a believer is to pray. Brother Oral Roberts said one time, I'll never forget it. I was a young man and I heard him say it. He stretched those hands out. I was watching my uncle's black and white TV and he said, I want you to know prayer is as vast as God and something good is going to happen to you today. He said, well, I don't know about Oral Roberts. Well, till you build a bigger university, don't be so critical. Amen. Prayer moves the hand of God. Just incredible when you think about it. Now, this is an interesting statement. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Can you quote that with me? Let's say it together. Pray without ceasing. One more time. Pray without ceasing. What in the world does that mean? Some folks think that means that you've got to be praying verbally and vocally 24/7. How many of you know that's impossible? Now, I believe in places and times to pray specifically like that. But that's not what that verse means. That verse means that you have a consciousness in your spirit at all times of God's presence, of God's commitment to you, and of God's willingness to meet your need. And you are in that attitude of prayer. It doesn't make any difference if you're washing dishes, if you're riding a bus, if you're working in an office cubicle somewhere, whatever you're doing, it doesn't make any difference. You can have a consciousness of prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we need to rediscover that. We need to get our focus on God and off of all of the problems in this world. In fact, Jesus made a statement, powerful statement. Need to make a note of this verse, and that is this. Jesus said it, Luke 18:1, He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men and women ought always to pray and not to faint. Somebody said, if you don't pray, you will faint. Wholeness in your spirit, in your soul, in your body is directly connected to communion with God. How many of you love God's presence? Oh my goodness, I got to tell you something. The most important thing in my life is the presence of God. I want his presence. And the good news is, it's just not when I'm at church. I can be driving down the highway and his presence can fill the cab of that Dodge Ram. And we just, man, we have a wonderful time together. That produces wholeness in your life. Pray without ceasing. Always means him ever in your spirit, in your consciousness, in your awareness. I'm going to make a statement to you. I've been challenged on this a time or two, and it's okay. But did you know that your spirit never sleeps? Your body sleeps. Your soul can sleep, but your spirit never sleeps. You know what that means? That even when you're sleeping, your spirit is in tune with God. That's why God speaks to us in dreams. How many of you have ever had the Lord give you a dream? Yes, sir. We have an ability to be in communion with God 24 hours a day. Number three, look at it in your Bible. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, it doesn't say, for everything, give thanks. And if you're going through a tough time with difficult situations, it is not necessarily God's will that those things happen to you. But what is God's will is for you to give thanks no matter whether it's good or bad. In everything, give thanks. For God, that is God's will concerning you. Boy, you find that in the New Testament so many times. Paul and Silas in prison, feet fastened in stocks, had been beaten, were just at a very difficult position. You know what the Bible says? Acts 16:25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them, and suddenly the ground began to shake, the jail began to shake, everyone's bands came off as the jail was being shaken, and suddenly people began to come and say, what do we do? How do we get saved? Even the jailer got saved and got baptized because two people decided to rejoice and to praise God and to give thanks in those circumstances. I guess that would be the original Jailhouse Rock, wouldn't it? In everything, give thanks. My wife is a powerful Christian. Her favorite verse in the Bible, it's a verse in the Bible. It's, and I believe it, but it's not my favorite verse. So consequently, she quotes it to me two or three times a day. You know what her favorite verse is? And boy, she lives by this. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. All things. Say it with me, all things. You know what all things means in the Greek? All things. It's the same thing it means in Alabama and Arkansas and Louisiana. It means all things. You don't give God thanks for breaking your arm. Lord, I want to thank you that you broke my arm. No, you don't do that. What you do is, even if your arm is broken, you give God thanks in that circumstance. Can you imagine how different your life would be if you would turn all of your whining into thanking? I know what you're thinking. Pastor, move on to the next one. Huh? No, look at this. In everything, give thanks. I love it in the Living Bible. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Folks, we're living in a time when there's a lot of things that we don't like, a lot of things we don't agree, and a lot of things that are not good. How many of you know that are going on? But that should not dampen nor change our fervor for being a thankful believer who gives God praise and thanks every day of our life. My old daddy had a great statement. I said, Dad, how you doing today? He said, son, any day I'm standing up is a great day. Come on. I believe that we sometimes are hung by the tongue. We choose to fall into the rut of the negativity of the world when we ought to be thanking God because God is going to work everything for His own good. Do you know God is going to take COVID-19, I believe, before this is done and turn it into the greatest time of harvest the church has ever seen? And we're actually seeing that happen right now. I gotta give you, this will blow your mind. I just got back from a week in Mexico. The Mexican government has had a major shift in the attitude they have had toward Christian education. Now, the Mexican government is recognizing and giving accreditation to Christian schools. Wow is right. So you know what I've been doing? I've been down there meeting with the university presidents and talking to pastors of churches. And I said, here's an open door. We're fixing to change the direction of this country because for the first time, we can do it without any persecution in reaching the kids. How many of you know kids are the future of any nation? We need to reach them now if we're going to make a difference. Don't get me on this subject, but we are reaping the harvest of several decades of elementary, junior high, high school, and particularly university level college and training. We're reaping the result of that, of what we're seeing in our nation right now. We need to get back to basics and reach our children while they are tender and young with the message that Jesus loves you, Jesus can save you, Jesus can change your life. That's not my subject. Please don't count that on my 30 seconds, okay? Say it with me. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. So much could be said about this. You know what the Bible said? The Bible says, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions to them for whom nothing is prepared, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you want to be strong? Get your joy going. Get your joy going. So very, very important. Number four. Quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. That literally means, in the original language, the Greek language, it reads almost in reverse. It says in the original manuscripts, it says, the spirit not quench. Because in Greek writing, they put the most important thing in the verse first. And the most important thing here is the Holy Spirit. Don't quench. Don't put a damper on it. Don't stifle. Don't suppress the Holy Spirit. How many of you thank God for the Holy Spirit in your life? Every believer in this room. How many believers are here? Let me see your hand. Put your hand up. Say with me, I'm a believer. Say it like you mean it. I'm a believer. The Bible says if you're a believer and you've accepted Christ, you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. How many of you thank God for that? Wow. Now, every believer is not filled with the Spirit, but there is a wonderful experience for you as a believer to up your game by being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you here have ever had an experience where you were filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, it was a life changer for me. It was a life changer for me. It turned my life around. Accepting Christ changed my eternal destiny. Being filled with the Holy Spirit enabled me to fulfill my purpose on this earth. And God's got a purpose for us. Let me give you a statement by Jesus concerning the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is John 14:15. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, for you know him, for he dwelleth, look at this, with you. That's what he's saying. He dwelleth with you, but shall be in you. John 16:13, listen to this verse. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Let me tell you a quick story. My life has been saved. I'm talking about my life. On two or three occasions, when the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, either do this or don't do this. Years ago, I was preaching a conference in Florida, down in the state of Florida, Auburndale, Florida. I was a speaker in a convention. There was another man speaking. He and his wife were there, great pastor from Portland, Oregon, pastored a church there of about 3,000 people. He was one of the speakers. I was speaking. And he spoke the last morning session. And when he had finished that, I had been riding back and forth with my parents from the hotel to the church where we were speaking, and they left that afternoon. So I just had one session to do. It was the last session of the conference. And so when my parents were taking me back to the hotel, my nephew was with me. He was with me on the trip. He turned to me and he said, Kemp, you want me to call the pastor and have them arrange someone to pick us up since Momo and Papa are leaving? We're not going to have a ride. I'll make arrangements and get someone to pick us up. I thought in my natural mind, that's a great idea. Opened my mouth. I was going to say, that's a great idea. Suddenly, before the words came out of my mouth, I heard something in my spirit say, submit to those in authority. I turned to Mike and I said, Mike, I don't think you better do that. I think we need to be under the authority of the pastor that is here. He may have already made arrangements. He said, okay. Sure enough, I got to my room and I called the pastor. He said, yes, sir, we got a car going to pick you and Mike up. I said, thank you. I went on to church that night, was sitting on the platform, getting ready to go to the pulpit, when all of a sudden, I saw a man come in the building and walk up to the pastor and just whisper in his ear, and suddenly I saw all kind of movement in the church. Only to discover that on their way to church, that pastor and his wife, and we would have been sitting in the back of their car, turned in front of an 18-wheeler and were both instantly killed. I want to tell you something. I'm here today because I have endeavored not to quench the Holy Spirit. How many of you here want to develop a tender ear to the Holy Spirit in your life? Let me see your hand. Is that important to you? Boy, that's important. That is important. That is so very important. Let me quickly move to a closing right now. And that is this. Despise not prophesying. That's in your Bible. The gift of prophecy is one of the most misunderstood, misused, abused gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yet it's very important. That's the reason Paul wrote a whole chapter to regulate that particular gift, 1 Corinthians 14. The threefold purposes of prophecy is edification, to build you up, exhortation, to stir you up, and comfort, to cheer you up. Let me give you the last one. Just very, very important. Actually, there's two left. Prove all things. Never before has that statement been more important to us than it is right now. One translation says, test everything that is said to be sure it is true. If it is, then accept it. When Jesus was asked about the end of the age, the second coming, the end of the world, all of that, when he was asked that by the disciples, do you know what his first statement was? Take heed that no man deceive you. Never before in my life have I seen the level of deception in a nation like it is today. How many of you know we are hearing everything under the sun? We need to be very diligent to prove all things before we buy into it. Can I hear an amen to that? Listen to this. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So very, very important. We need to test or discern not just what is being said, but the spirit behind what is being said. How many of you know, I've actually heard preachers could preach the truth, but the spirit was to bring division and confusion into the church. Somebody said, the truth told with bad intent is worse than all the lies you can invent. And boy, I believe that is true. We need to develop a sensitivity to testing what we hear. How many of you know there's nothing wrong with testing what you hear? The seventh and last one, abstain from all appearance of evil. That literally means stay as far away from anything that even seems sinful or is evil. You don't hear any preaching about that anymore, but how many of you know we need to stay away from things that contaminate our spirit, our soul, and our body? Abstain. That word abstain is a powerful word. It means this. It means to put distance between oneself and something else, or to intentionally abstain. We live in a world that's just doing everything it can to turn us away from our relationship with God and with the authority of God's word. But if you want to be whole, if you want to be whole, make a decision like Daniel did and the three Hebrews did, that you're not going to be contaminated with the meat from the king's table. You'll be able then to stand the heat of the fiery furnace when that happens. Can I hear an amen to that? My question now is back to where we started. Wilt thou be made whole in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body? Let me ask you a question today. Can I just pause right here for a moment? Is there a need today in a particular area of your life, in your spirit, in your soul, or in your body, for wholeness? You'll say, Pastor Holden, I need to be whole in my mind. I need to be whole in my emotions. I need to be whole in my feelings. I'm carrying some things in my soul. There's been some hurts and some wounds in my life that I've not been able to get past, and I know they're affecting me. I need to be whole in my body, in my soul, and in my spirit. Let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your presence and for the power of the Holy Spirit that is in this room. I pray, Lord, for these wonderful people that are here today in this room, Lord, that you're speaking to us about healing in our lives. Grant it, O God, I pray.